Blog Talk Radio.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWRDB.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWRDB, or its affiliates.
Good morning, everyone. I am, again, so excited to have another episode of Real Connected. I say good morning for those out on the West Coast. It is now 1 o'clock here in Cincinnati. So again, just thank you so much. I have had a lot of things happen within the last month. Last month we had, if you all remember, Katrina Balvin, who is doing fantastic things here in Cincinnati. And we had, I know her event was successful, as it should be. So just a lot of things happening. Real estate is picking up here in Cincy, so have been busy in that space. But I wanted to keep with the topic of women and women in leadership. We definitely have so many fantastic women to celebrate. And today we are definitely in for a treat. But before I introduce my guest for today, I also, as always, wanted to give a huge thank you to eWater Radio, KEWR, as well as No Limit Records for the permission to play Brick by Brick. I definitely want to give props where props are due, and so these folks have always been so supportive of me, so ask that you all support them as well, but thank you so much. As well as, you know, I wanted to drop just a few shameless plugs. This week has been a crazy week. We are celebrating Realtors Week. For those that may be joining for the first time, I am VP of the Greater Cincinnati Realtors Association, part of NARAB, and we are celebrating this week. We have had an event every single day, and they have all been joyous. This Saturday, and if you're listening live now, this Saturday here in Cincinnati, we are having the first annual Building Black Wealth Community Day, Community Expo. And what we will do is have panelists, we will have our local officials, local and some state officials, to talk about what is going on, the state of Black homeownership. Our president, Parrish, will discuss the Sheba report that was just released and what does Black homeownership look like, not only in the country, but for our city and our county specifically. We also have local attorneys that will be on site to ask if you have any questions regarding wills, trusts, and estate. And I know that here in our county, well, in the state, tax and property taxes is a big topic, important topic. So we'll also be discussing that as well. So excited. If you have some time, drop in. We'll have a small business table vendors and food trucks. It is definitely a celebration. So this is going to be at Word of Deliverance, Saturday the 13th. The doors open at 9:30. So excited about it. Excited for community. This is definitely a time to come together and learn something. So hopefully you will stop in. But again, to my guests, I'm so thankful. I have known Tuana for years. Tuana and I think I was like 14. I might have been 13 or 14. But she is fantastic. I see her and how she moves, and I'm super proud in her family. I'm really good friends with her sister, but really good people. But not only just good people, but amazing, strong women who are not only doing it themselves, but are reaching back to help others. And I am so about that. It's, you know, we're so past gatekeeping. It's how can we encourage others to grow, and how can we encourage women to be in leadership positions and to really trust themselves and believe in themselves and knowing that their voice and their ideas matter. So Tuana is, again, she is in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And just to give a background, she is also in real estate. She has been a broker now for over 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, with First Source Realty. And I am working with her now on an event for later this year in Cincinnati, but she's also the Queen Executive Officer for Queen of Queens. Tuana, can you hear me? Well, we will give her a few minutes to join. But yes, when I think of women in leadership, I think of women who are not afraid to share their voice, and women who are just trailblazers. And I think of Tuana. Can you now hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. You know what? Unmuting is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I had you here muted. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for having me. This is
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, tell us about yourself. I did sort of give you an intro, and you, again, have been in the business for years. But for those who are just learning who you are, give us a glimpse, not only from your professional standing, but also just to give women a background, because I think it's so important that women understand that there's been a journey, and there's definitely, you're laying those, like that song that played at the very beginning, Brick by Brick, you're laying that foundation to be where you're at right now. Tell us about that.
Yes. So Tuana, Chris Balford, and as Eileen said, we've known each other for a long time. And who knew, you know, that as we were teenagers, you know, that we would come alongside each other later in life, you know,
right,
to do great things, which I believe is what God has called us to do, great things for women.
Okay.
I love what you said about we're so over gatekeeping, right? So I've been a real estate agent, property manager, broker. I started off in 2002, so it's been a journey, as you mentioned. So I've been on this journey not knowing quite where it was going to take me, but I've, you know, sold real estate here in Minneapolis. I moved to San Diego for about 5 years and sold real estate there. I went to Thailand and years ago and got my international certification to sell real estate internationally. So in all of that, what I found is that, you know, real estate, we have community here because I see your pictures and your posts, and you have a community of realtors and people in the business. I have my community of friends, realtors, people in the business or around the business. But just to get on what I'm doing personally now with my ministry called Queen of Queens, Women in the Marketplace, is really setting up a community for women that are working in the marketplace, it doesn't matter what your entrepreneurial piece is of the puzzle. But what I did find out is that we need community, because who can you go to and talk about the fact that it's a slow month, you know, or talk about the fact that I'm walking by faith on what I feel like I should be doing. And, you know, and a person who works a 9-to-5 job may not understand what that looks like. That's what women, Queen of Queens Women in the Marketplace, that's what we're about, being a part of a community so that I can say, you know, what's the best way to do X, Y, Z, you know, to another entrepreneur woman. Again, we have that a little better in real estate, because I can go to my broker, or I can go, or you can go to your broker, or we can go to, you know, another realtor, and we can get what we need. But what about the people who are, you know, maybe somebody who decided they started a cake baking business, cupcakes, or someone, you know, who is doing even Mary Kay or Avon, you know, something even small. Some people may think it's small, but people are still selling those items. So I'm pretty sure to them it's not a small business. You know, to them, they've decided for whatever reason, that's the business, that's the item they're going to sell, and they're going to make the most of it. But they still need a community.
Absolutely. And it takes courage. I tell everyone that to be an entrepreneur is not for the, you know, is not for, I hate to say the weak, but it is, to be an entrepreneur is a grind, and it is a every day, 24/7, especially if you don't have a team, a good team behind you. If I just think of just real estate, and like you mentioned, Queen of Queens definitely serves all women in business. But in real estate, if you're not part of a team, you're the customer service, the contract administrator, the, you know, the phone, you're managing everything as far as lead generation. So
marketing.
I think that, the marketing team, so definitely takes courage. I was reading a statistic, I mean, it was actually Wells Fargo who had some statistics about how women are outpacing men in small business and entrepreneurship. And they actually had stated from 19 to 23, so 2023, that women outpace men by 94.3% in entrepreneurship and small business. So ladies are taking over. Ladies are definitely doing their thing. How do you see, Tawana? I know that one of the barriers that women, especially women in leadership positions, one of the barriers is old stereotypes. And I don't want to, this definitely isn't a bashing session for men, but those are, that's definitely one of the barriers that we face, is those old-fashioned stereotypes of, you know, the, that women, you know, aren't as qualified, aren't as, we don't have those masculine traits that we've seen in leadership positions. What do you think, how do you manage, how do you attack old stereotypes in the business? What have you faced, and how have you overcome that?
Okay, so that is definitely, you know, a great question, because you are correct. I have had to face the stereotypes, and even not just, you know, the fact that I'm a woman, even the fact that I'm a woman of color, you know, so, and I would have thought, you know, sometimes you think, you know, we're past certain things, but at the end of the day, you realize that not everyone has passed, you know, not everyone feels like we're all created equal. Not everyone feels like, you know, that we can make the same money as our male counterparts. Not everyone feels that way. And so, even in, like, earlier on, so when I started in 2002, I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a predominantly white state. And so in the real estate area, real estate back then was predominantly men. So now you have woman, and now I'm a black woman. And I remember I went to show a house in this It was a mixed neighborhood. I went to show a house. I made the appointment to show it and everything. And when it was time to get my confirmation, the realtor told me that I couldn't show it because, now this is 2002, and he said because he didn't feel that my clients were the right fit for the neighborhood.
Wow.
And that was shocking, you know, because we all deal with things here and there, but it's like, oh, it was so blatant, you know, to say that, number one, you've never met my clients. So you're technically basing this fact that they are not right to the neighborhood in your opinion because I'm a black realtor. So you're automatically assuming that because I'm black, then my clients are black. Therefore, they shouldn't be in this neighborhood. So, you gatekeep in the neighborhood. And so I literally had to call the Association of Realtors and put in a complaint. I had to call the state of Minnesota and put in a complaint. And the realtor was an older guy, Caucasian guy, but his son was also a realtor who was about my age, and his son called me, and he's like, my dad didn't really mean what he was saying.
Oh, my gosh.
well, maybe you should show us their qualifications, prove a letter before we'll let you into the house. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not how we do things. That's not
how fair houses.
I'm not doing that with any other person to make the appointment to get into the house. So I have seen it. And even with, I'm going to just tell you this, when I look back at, like, Proverbs 31, that Proverbs 31 woman was a busy woman, and she was, it says that her husband, you know, and her children called her blessed, but her husband, he sat at the gate, so everyone knew who he was, but she was the one that was buying fields.
Yeah.
You know, it says that she considered fields and she purchased those.
Yeah.
You know, all the way back then.
I think that, you know, and I'm certainly not married, but I know that that is definitely one of the characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman is, like you said, she's busy. She's tending to the business, not only of her husband, but of her man. Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love Proverbs 31. How do you, so when you do the Queen of Queens conferences, and I know that you are just in Texas, right?
Yep.
Or
you're
about to be
in
Texas?
Texas this weekend, this week coming up, the 19th and
the 20th. Got you. How do you have workshops, or well, let me ask this question. So I love that you went to scripture. How has faith or your spirituality impacted how you do business? And do you teach ladies in your conference?
That's a great question. So since we are at scripture, my faith, number one, is very important to me because the Bible says that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by God's spirit. So when I feel that I'm overwhelmed in anything, I can feel, you know, it's something about not having anyone greater than you.
Right.
Anyone, you know, in the business of, you know, just being an entrepreneur, just being a wife, just being a mother, in the business of life, we get overwhelmed. And we always hear about anxiety, depression, you know, those things. And some of that has to do with we feel that we have to carry our own burden. You know, so I feel as I go through with the women, with the women entrepreneurs, because even before I ever started Queen of Queens, I always was surrounded by women in business. So, and I always gave the same message. And what I feel is that having faith, when I realize that I don't have to do it by myself, when I realize I could say, Lord, this is too much for me to handle. I'm going to, you know, give it to you. And know that he is there and know that he really will handle it. That's the game.
It gives you a sense of peace.
Correct.
Definitely a sense of peace. I would definitely say I completely agree. I was just having a conversation earlier this morning about just the stressors that we go through. And, you know, my advice to my friends is always to take some time to just pray. I think for me, like we're talking about entrepreneurship, it's tough. There are days that are just tough. And I know that what has gotten me through is truly my my faith and truly my walk, my spiritual walk. It is knowing that you're not at it alone, like you just mentioned. You're not at it alone. And at the end of the day, my needs, your needs, they're always met. And I had to get to a point for me that just to get to a point to say, you know what, God, I surrender this. Because sometimes also in business, we stress ourselves out for no reason. We're sitting there looking at other people and, oh, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Or, you know, I see folks on social media and, oh, my God, why am I not doing the business that everyone else is? I'm not staying in my lane. And so I worry about things and just all of that stuff. I'm guilty of that. I am certainly guilty of, like, having my own timeline and worrying about it and just, you know, and just causing myself unneeded stress. But when I got to a point, Tawana, where I said, you know what, I surrender it, whatever is for me, God has always supplied my needs. And do you know that as soon as I got to that headspace to say, not my will, not my timeline, but yours, everything just seemed to open up for me. So no, for me, spirituality has truly impacts not only my personal life and my personal goals, but also in business. It's just knowing that I'm not doing it alone, and hopefully I'm walking in purpose and in purpose, and that, you know, if something is meant for me, it'll happen.
And that's exactly correct. And that's exactly where I come from, you know, that place, because like you said earlier, it's a peaceful place.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that the God I serve is not going to ever leave me, and he's not going to leave me homeless. He's not going to leave me hungry, you know? So it's like my needs are going to be met. Maybe I may not be able to go on that cruise, you know, or, you know, get that new outfit, but I'm going to eat. I'm going to have some place to stay. He's going to take care of me.
Yes. How did you come up with the concept, and how did you start the Queen of Queens brand? How did you, what made you think of it, and how did you get started?
Okay, great question. So Queen of Queens actually comes from the story of Esther.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know the story, the story talks about a king, you know, who had, he had a wife, and he was having this big celebration. And because of this celebration, he wanted his wife to come out, and she decided that she didn't want to. I know this is so probably opposite of where we are today, right, with what we were talking about, men versus women and all different strong, different roles. But in this particular story, he decided that, you know, because she defied him, you know, in public, in front of all of the kingdom, that she was no longer going to be the queen anymore. So what they did, they gave a decree, and they asked for, you know, other women to come up to be the new queen. And so this is Esther, who the story's about. She's a she's being raised by her uncle. Her parents have passed away. And so she's a Jew. And I'm going to make this long story short. But anyway, she's a Jew. And because she's a Jew, in this whole process of her being queen, she has to go through this tampering session, you know, and whoever the king likes the most, he's going to pick from all of these beautiful women. But they get like 6 months of pampering. You know, they go through the process. And that's a whole other thing, right, going through the process. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they go through the process to become queen. And in this process, while she's going through this, they find out that there's a man who's like the king's right-hand person who's planning to destroy the Jews. So her uncle finds out about this, and he says, we got to do something about this. And she tells him, you know, I'm not sure what I can do. You can only come to the king when he asks for you, and he hasn't asked for me for 30 days. And so from there, her uncle says, well, I don't know what you're going to do, but if, you know, if someone has to do something because it's such a desperate situation, like there's a decree that all of the Jews are going to be killed, and he's telling her, and you are a Jew, even though he had told her before, don't tell anybody your identity, so no one knows that she's a Jew. But he's saying, even you, you know, even you are going to, you know, perish if we don't figure this out. So she decides to, she tells the king, she tells her uncle, tell all the Jews to fast with me for 3 days. And she said, and I'm going to fast too. And what she did was she went into the king's chambers, even though he didn't ask her. So one of the punishments of going there is she could have died because he could have called for her death, because that's how serious it was to approach the king if you weren't called. So that was the reason for the fast. She's like, we're going to have to fast on this because he hasn't called me, so that means I got to go. But one of the things she said was, if I perish, I perish. So that's number one. So I got to do what I got to do, no matter what it looks like, no matter how scared I am, no matter what the consequence could be, but I have to do what I need to do to see if I can save my people. So she ends up going to the king, and he says, what do you want? What, he was open to her coming, and he said, tell me what you need. I'll give you up to half of the kingdom. So that tells you right there that she was walking in favor.
Right.
So instead of him calling for her death, he's opening up like everything he has. Like, you can have up to half of the kingdom. And she says to him, you know, meet me. I'm going to have a banquet, and I need you to bring, you know, your right-hand man and meet me for this banquet. Anyway, so they meet her, and she tells him, you know, that we're in trouble. Someone's plotting against the Jews. And he's like, who is it? You know, like, I'll have his head, you know. But it literally was his right-hand man who was sitting there at the table when she's telling all this. And so we never know, as women entrepreneurs, so this is where the story comes from, why we are in the position that we are in, to be queen above all queens, to do the right thing at the right time. We're not perfect, but I do believe, no, we're not perfect, but I believe that God puts a seed inside of all of us. And that when it's time for us to do, you know, like you doing this podcast, you don't know the reason you're really doing it. You know, it may be helping some woman who's an entrepreneur, you know, change her strategy. It may be inspiring her. It may allow her to collab with some other women, you know. So it's like we never know the reason we're doing it, but we are doing it for a change. And I think that's a part of what we see as women. That we're seeing, like, how can I help another woman not have to be living the life that I came out of? Or how can I help her go further because I see in her what she doesn't see in herself?
I love the story. I'm amazed. Well, I love to hear when stories are brought to life. You explained that so well, and I didn't remember that story. But I love how the concept of Queen of Queens come up, because she definitely was looking out for others. And she took that risk. And I love that. But I also like the idea that she was so strong, and she decided to make a move regardless of the consequences. And sometimes you just have to do it scared. Just do it. I love that. What do you think? So she definitely went against all rules back then, and you know, you had mentioned that you were supposed to be called on, and she said, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway.
Exactly.
How do you think that plays into today's society? Do you think that as women, we're still moving that way where, you know, we're unapologetic about what it is that, you know, especially if you're living in purpose. And like you said, you know, I always think if we only just touch one or two people, I've done what I need to do. But do you think that we're in this society still living in that idea of, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live in purpose. I know what my purpose is. And I'm just going to do it.
Yes. I think that because of where we have come from as women, when did we start actually being able to work? I think it was World War II. I think that's when we were actually able to start getting jobs, because our husbands and, you know, all the people who were supposed to take care of us was at war. You know, so
yes.
Then women had to start working. And I know that in 1973, now I was born in 1973, and did you know that in 1973, it did not matter how much money you made as a woman, even if you made more than your husband, you still could not purchase a home. He had to buy it.
You said that was in 1973.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're not that far removed, right?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. That's
so
crazy. That's definitely something I didn't know.
Yeah. So that being said, I think as we have our eyes, we're walking in, I believe, with our eyes wide open.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, I do know that, you know, a man still has his place in the world. A man still has his place in our lives. So we definitely, you know, not downgrading a man, because I love my husband. I love everything he does. However, I also know that I have a part as a woman that's not just dependent on him.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah. So in my past marriage, just to add this, in my past marriage, I was married for 27 years. And I could not figure out my dream because my dream was always wrapped up in whatever he wanted to do or whatever he wanted to do.
Yes, I was right there with you.
It was hard to identify myself. Like, okay, so where's my part? Where, like, God gave me a dream, right? Why can't I go forward in what I feel God's called me to do, like this? With, like, this Queen of Queens. I had this dream years ago, but because my husband back then wasn't for it, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think as women, you know, we're coming from under, we're still loving our husbands and all of that, but we're coming from under the place where it's everything that they want for our life. You know, like I have visions and dreams of my own that include my husband. He has visions and dreams of his own that include me, but it's not just a one-sided thing.
I like that. And I think, Twana, I'm not sure if you knew, but I was definitely married for a long time too. And I like how you just said that, because almost married for 25 years, and I definitely put my dreams on hold to help him with his. And he is successful in his own rights now, but you lose yourself. And I said that even now, as I am in relationship, I'm not sure where God is going to take me. But the idea to have someone who, like you just said, that we're together and I'm included in what it is that you're doing and you're supporting me and I'm including you in what I am doing as well. And I think, you know, a lot of marriages, and this is the advice that I give all those, and I want to see marriages succeed. You know, I think that marriage is a beautiful thing. I think when you do things in covenant and just with that team mentality, you can accomplish so much more But for those couples that I know that are just newly married or not quite yet hitting 20, you know, it gets tough. Marriage is a journey and a job. But yes. I always say that, yes, you have to be willing to take turns. I always go back to T.D. Jakes, and T.D. Jakes said, and I think I mentioned this in my last episode, was I will never forget when T.D. Jakes had mentioned, they were talking about marriage, and he said, the most important thing you got to think about is taking rides together. And he used the analogy of being on a motorcycle. And he was like, when you take turns, you got to turn at the same time. You got to be willing to make changes. And for me, I was just, in that whole time I was married, I was about what his dreams were, that once my sons moved out and went to college, I was like, ooh, who am I now? What do I want to do? And he wasn't as supportive of that. And I think that now that I think of it, how important it is for our young men to be able to, as we have, as you know, Queen of Queens and other organizations, and how men also need to do the same with our young men and with our men, to be able to have those conversations of, it's okay, you know, for women to do their thing and then come back together. I think that's a very important conversation. Very important. So my prayer is out for marriage. I think it's a beautiful thing. But like you said, I think it's even more beautiful when you have a spouse that completely supports you and wants to see you succeed and live in purpose.
That's true. Amen. I totally agree.
Yeah. How do you, so for me, mentorship is important, not only for the women that I mentor, but I have mentors as well. I think that it is important. I know it's important because, like you had said even earlier, is being able to avoid those roadblocks that you ran into, and being able to teach other women, younger women, the path to take, or showing them the path to take to avoid some of those roadblocks. How important was mentorship to you? Do you have a mentor that just, you know, is on top of your mind, who really, really spoke into you? Do you have a mentor like that? How important is mentorship to you?
Mentorship is definitely important, because mentorship gets you out of your own head.
Yes.
And it takes those things that you're thinking and actually helps you walk them out, right? I have always, I shouldn't say always, I try to always keep a mentor for myself. I mentor others as well. But I try to keep a mentor for myself because I believe God spoke to me one day and he said, you can go further if you want to. He said, but how you go further is getting a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
He literally said that to me, like, you're going to get a mentor, because he said, if you want to make six figures — at this time I wasn't making six figures — he said, you got to get a mentor so you can put yourself around people who's already making that. And when I made that pivot and did exactly what he told me, I think in like 6 months I was making six figures.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a mindset. Right?
Yes.
It's always a mindset. And if left to ourselves and our own thinking, we're going to fail.
Yeah.
But if I can partner with my mentor, meaning if I can go to someone who has already arrived where I'm trying to go, or who, you know what I mean, then they can, like you said, they can help me get there, because all the places where I'm going to stop and take a break, or all the places where there's going to be a wall in front of me that I feel like I can't get over or can't get through it, they can talk to me about, don't go that way, because that way there's a wall there.
Yes.
Because they already went that way.
Yes. Yeah.
So they can say, you know, I'm going to help you get there faster.
Yes.
So
I have a real estate mentor. And one of the things that I have found beneficial is just, you know, sometimes, you know, you just think, oh my God, what am I doing? And just a reminder, like, listen, it's not the end of the world. It's actually been worse off than it, before. So just being able to talk me through, like you said, just getting, most of the time we're in our own head. Being able to talk that through. Yeah. How is the market in Minneapolis? So you're in Minneapolis and Orlando?
No, I'm in Minneapolis. I actually do Airbnb, so I had Airbnbs in Orlando, but I don't have them anymore because they had a big storm, and I'm like, I'm not there, so it'd be best for me to keep my stuff local.
Gotcha.
But it was great. I had an Airbnb in Orlando for I think 3 years. So.
Okay. Yeah. How would you say the market is there where you are in Minneapolis?
So it is very busy. We are still getting multiple offers. In fact, Minneapolis is one of the best places to purchase homes. We're not really super cheap, I'm going to say that. But what I have found out by being here, I've been here since 1999, is that we rebound quicker than other places. So when in the last recession, even in the like worst neighborhoods, those houses were going for like $100,000 in the worst neighborhood. Well, when the market rebounded, those same owners or investors turned those homes over at like $300,000.
Mm.
And that was in the ghetto.
So, what attracts people to Minneapolis?
I know, as cold as it is. It is beautiful here. Right. It gets like below zero, like 20 below and 30 below, like freezing. But it's a beautiful city, to be honest with you. It has great jobs. People come here because of the job. They have great jobs and great pay.
Okay.
We are a land of 10,000 lakes. So everywhere you go, there's a lake. Everywhere you go, there's a lake. And all of our, it's just a pretty city. How about that? I had some people come from Michigan to visit us a couple months ago, and they were like, who can we write to tell them how beautiful your streets are?
Aww.
It's just a really pretty city. Like, they were like, you don't even have trash on your streets. But it's a very pretty city. So that's one of the things that attracts. But I'm sure mainly it's the money.
No, I was in Minneapolis. I was 18. I don't even know if they're still there. Is it North Central College? It's right there downtown. I was accepted. I was supposed to go, and I remember going for my college visit, and then all of a sudden I decided to change up and go to Virginia. But I do remember Minneapolis and how beautiful it was, the Mall of America.
But you dodged the bullet. You were able to stay in a warmer climate.
But you know what? Cincinnati is, we laugh. Cincinnati is a city. We're an Ohio estate that you can experience all four seasons in literally a week. I mean, it'll be in the 70s one day, next day it's 0 degrees, next day it's a blizzard. You just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
That sounds like Minneapolis.
Okay, so we're in the same boat. For me, real estate has been a game changer. Being able to be in the circles of the folks that I know and just learning more about business, especially being part of NARAB, seeing how business is done, and being just in the advocacy space and home ownership. Earlier in the show, I'd mentioned the latest Sheba report. And, we're still low in numbers as far as the comparison of home ownership from Black America to White America, from 70% down to like the mid-30s. And I think within Latinos, it's about the same, a little higher than that 30. But what do you, going into the real estate space, do you feel you're an advocate, or how do you advocate? What do you see in Minneapolis happening when it comes to home ownership to the underserved and those for us people of color.
Yes, we are. Our numbers are very low.
Okay.
In Minneapolis, so to the point where I literally work with down payment assistance programs.
Yeah.
And our numbers are so low as far as home ownership. They said that our numbers haven't gotten any better. I think since like the 90s. Like we're that like the same number percentage of underserved homeowners. All the way back from the 90s to today. It's like the numbers haven't really changed. So I partner with a lot of the down payment assistance programs, and I know what they are here. Like we have a program called the Next Generation Program, and that program gives people like up to $50,000 down.
Oh, wow.
But for this program, your parents could not have owned. So it's like literally we're saying, you're the next generation and we want to own a home. So then there's other programs that can be added to that program even. So Minneapolis does have, that's another reason people move here. So we do have money that we literally give for first time home buyers to make them, help them be successful.
That's amazing. We also have those programs here in Ohio. We have OFA. And of course others, but definitely not anything that I know of up to 50 down. That's fantastic. One of the concerns that I have, and one of the concerns that NARAB on the national level has raised is the changes in regards to fees with the recent NAR settlement that is still, of course, pending judge signature and all that. But our concern is that those that are seeking the down payment assistance and are seeking assistance with closing costs, that it is that sector. It is those in our community that will be most affected because you're already asking for assistance. And until we actually figure it out to be able to, in addition, pay for any additional fees. And I know here locally there's some banks that are trying to figure it out and how can they absorb some of those costs from the mortgage level. But what have you heard there in your city, in your state, about the changes that are coming up later on this year and how do you think that you all will combat it?
Okay, so I think, so what I've been hearing is, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, it is more like a punishment for the buyer, right? Because the buyer is the one who needs the down payment assistance. They are the ones who need help with the closing costs. You know, so they're the ones that need help. But it also is not, even though it sounds great for the seller, in my opinion, it's really not even great for the seller because now you have, it's a different way that the commissions will be, but now one of the ways is possibly doing an a la carte. So now, you know, the realtor, you may not pay the buyer's agent, but the agent now has to do even more work to get you to the closing table. And you don't know how long your house is going to stay on the market because now, as you were saying, the buyer doesn't have, you know, a little more easy access to money that they need to get in. Because, you know, even when they're putting down, these are hardworking people. We're not saying that just because they're haven't purchased or their parents haven't purchased, we're not saying that they can't afford it. They can afford it. And some of them, a lot of them have even saved money. But as we know, even with that, they're still the percentages of, you know, how much is down payment assistance. I'm sorry, how much is your down payment required for the loan? How much is your closing cost required to close? So even if my buyer has saved, it still may not be enough to get them to the closing table. But without the help of the down payment assistance or without the help of the seller.
Yeah.
And so I
definitely
think that's the conversation.
Changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that definitely, you know, a work in progress. But just like we figure other things out and have figured everything else, I think that this too will be, it's going to be definitely, there's going to be a learning curve, but I think with everything, there's always a bounce back and a way to, there's always solutions. So that's what I say. Always solutions to everything. Yeah. I know we only have just a few minutes left. This time always flies by. I always tell all my guests, like, before you know it, it's, the time is up. But I had one last question for you, Tuana. And again, I am so proud of all the things that you've accomplished, and I watch you on social, and you've definitely have a presence and a positive impact on women, not just in your city, but around the country and the different places that you have visited. What is one advice that you would give any woman, whether aspiring to be in a leadership position or in entrepreneurship? What would you, what would that advice be?
That advice would be to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, yeah. So a lot of times I think we don't go forward because we don't, we have this thing on the inside that's telling us to go for it. But then when we look in the mirror and we say, but you don't look like everybody else who's went for it or everyone else who's made it. So it's not for you. So I would say it is for you, and to trust yourself. And when you don't know what to do, just make sure you have a mentor on the side of you. Because I just feel like in anything, no one's perfect in anything. Marriages aren't perfect. Friendship relationships aren't perfect. Businesses aren't perfect. But what helps them to be perfect is when they add that extra support.
Extra support. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. How can someone, if you can give us your contact information, your social media handles, how can folks get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me at Tuana, T-W-A-N-A, dot Crisp, C-H-R-I-S-P, at gmail.com, as well as, that's my email address. So. And then also, I have the Queen of Queens Global is my Facebook.
Okay.
And then that's the Queen of Queens Facebook. And then my personal Facebook is Tuana Crisp Alford. And that last name is A-L-F-O-R-D.
Awesome. And I will definitely share it to my socials as well. Thank you so much again for joining us today. It's dear to me in what, how do we take part in growing and mentoring others, especially our young ladies. So thank you so much for imparting your wisdom to my audience and to those who follow. Especially, I know we're no longer in Women's History Month, but it's Women's History Time all year round.
Every month, right?
because we are taking over, for sure. I am part of a woman-only team here in Cincinnati. For those that didn't listen in last month, I switched to Private Real Estate Collection, Team Her. I'm super excited about this new this move. Again, it's an all-women team led by our leader, Heather Herr, who's an amazing woman herself, doing amazing things and impacting women. So I am so happy to be in this space. So kudos. God is always good. You can contact me. My number is 513-535-0441. And my platforms for all social medias is Latina0441. I wanted to go back again. If you have absolutely, you want to learn about anything real estate, anything tax abatement, anything about trust, wills, and estates, please come out on Saturday. I'm super excited. I'm also excited that, NARAB, if you don't follow, is an amazing organization who doing amazing things under Dr. Courtney Rose. She is such a phenomenal leader in our organization. So I'm excited, not only from the real estate space, but she's also deep in development and teaching teaching our members and being an advocate on the national level at the White House about what that means for our community. So I'm super excited. So thanks again to Juana for joining, and thanks again to our listeners for listening in. Please send me a text, send me an email with any questions or any feedback. But thank you so much. Thanks, Juana.
Thank you. Guys, have a great day.
You too. Talk soon.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR, DB.